don't mean to bring any conviction to anyone, but has anybody ever fasted for more than one day? Yeah. Anybody fast for a week? 30 days? Anybody fast for a whole month? Anybody? We have one. Two. Excellent. Is it easy? No. See, going without food for any length of time sometimes can make you weary, right? Physically. We know fasting and prayer, those times that we do fast are those times where we can commit ourselves to spiritual things. We set aside food. We set aside the physical things, asking God to do a spiritual work. But going without food for 40 days does not usually help one's appearance. You know, going without food. I've done it for a few days, fasted for a few days. And those of you who have done it more for a week, usually after the third, fourth day, it kind of plateaus a little bit. I never have gotten there yet. But it's hard, especially if you're 80 years old. Can't be easy going without food for 40 days. But that's exactly what happens here in Exodus chapter 34. As Moses is up on Mount Sinai, getting again the second set of tablets, he's fasting for 40 days. And he's in the presence of God there on Mount Sinai. And when Moses comes back, you're familiar with the story. He comes down after the second time, 40 days, and what happens? He's glowing like a light bulb. His face is shining, that what some people will call Shekinah glory, or the presence of God is just shining off of him because he's been in the presence of the Lord. And as we look at this area of Scripture tonight, it's so important that we grasp the importance, and we've talked about it throughout Exodus as we've been going through, the importance of being in the presence of God. Because we're going to see, for Moses, there was a physical manifestation, was a physical change on his appearance, but I'm going to submit to all of us tonight that when we spend quality time with God, when we're in an intimate time with the Lord in his presence, we will change. We will change. We must change, because if we truly have the right heart and we truly have the right motivation to be in the presence of God, his glory, his love, his grace is going to fall upon us and going to change us. At least it should. And tonight, as we look at these closing verses of chapter 34, our focus is going to be on three things we must consistently be aware of to have a very close and intimate and real relationship with God. Because this is what Moses had, right? He had a personal, intimate, face-to-face relationship with the Lord, like no one else ever has. And for us, it's like, Lord, we want to be in your presence. We want to hear your heart. We want to know your will for our lives. And it takes spending time with God. Oh, it would be great if you gave your life to the Lord, you gave your heart to God, you surrendered your will for his will, and then just everything would fall into place and you walked perfectly with the Lord every step of the way. But that's not how it works. No, life happens and difficulties happen and tragedies come into our lives, and we have to deal with those things while still submitting to the authority of God. And so it's important that our relationship with the Lord is strong, that our relationship with God, and you hear me say it probably in every message, make sure you pray, make sure you read your Bible, make sure you stay in fellowship, because these are the things, these are the aspects of Christianity that help us stay strong, that help us to stay close to the Lord. Anytime someone distances themselves from Christian fellowship, I get worried. Not because I miss the person or not because I'm disappointed that they're not here with us. It's because I know what's going to happen. When we disassociate with fellowship, we start to slack off. We start to, if you will, in a sense, backslide if we're not staying true and transparent with other brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, church attendance isn't necessary for the Christian, but it's a dependence to stay strong in the Lord, to stay fed from the Word of God. And so the things that we do and the things that we're asked to do by God is to help us and to encourage us in those things. So we're going to jump in here in verse 29, and again, we're going to look at three things that we need to constantly be aware of in our relationship if it's going to be a real and strong relationship with the Lord. Verse 29. It says, now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Okay, give me your attention. Our first thing that we want to talk about, if you're taking notes, again, a real relationship with God, number one, is the physical evidence of my relationship. The physical evidence of my relationship. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. He had done this before. He had gotten the tablets the first time. And if you remember, came down and they were worshiping the golden calf and he threw the Ten Commandments on the ground and destroyed them. And here he goes back up the second time, getting the Ten Commandments, the next set of tablets, comes down, but this time his face is glowing. And he doesn't even realize it. He doesn't know this. And isn't this important for us to realize that when we spend time in God's presence, we will be changed, but we may not notice it. Others should notice it, but we necessarily will not notice it. You know, it's unfortunate at the end of verse 30 that the people were afraid to approach Moses. But quite honestly, if you walked in here today and my face was glowing, I think you'd be afraid. Right? What's wrong with Pastor Rob? What did he eat? Don't get near him. He's going to hurt us. It's like, we look at it like Moses. He was in the presence of God. He was shining the glory of God, and we'll see that. No, the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. There was a physical appearance that changed by him being in the presence of God, and the people were afraid of it. See, reflecting the glory of God upon his face, because God's glory was so powerful and so magnificent that he actually reflected that. Moses didn't realize it. And this is the way it needs to be for us when we're in the presence of God, that we don't realize the changes that take place. Oh, I can see changes in your life. You can see changes in my life, but we don't necessarily see them, do we? We don't necessarily notice them. And maybe you've heard it from someone in your life. Oh, man, I just can see how God is using you. I can see how God is changing you. And you're like, really? I don't feel any different. I don't seem any different, but there's something different. There's something different. When you spend time in the presence of the Lord, when you are at his feet, and when you're spending time in prayer, and when you spend time in true worship, like we just did, I mean, worshiping, singing, just you and God, not letting anybody around you affect your worship with the Lord, and you're just in there, you're going to change. I really pray that those, even though we only do four songs on Wednesday night, that after the fourth song, you're going, man, do I feel so much better. Boy, do I feel so much, because I'm spending time in the presence of God, and I'm worshiping him. We should change. You should change. No, our gloom should be replaced by a glow. We should change. We may be, like I said, my prayer, we probably came in here with a bunch of things that happened today, and man, we're just like, I'm so glad I'm sitting in church. I don't have to answer one phone. I don't have to talk to anybody necessarily during the service. I can just sit here and relax. But something's going to happen, my prayer is, that something is going to happen to you physically by the time you leave here. That the things that you're worried about when you came are no longer going to be a worry for you. That you're going to say, no, God is going to help me. God is going to strengthen me. God is going to change me so I can be prepared for the things that are going to happen in my life. See, we say things like this. I don't feel like I glow. I don't feel like I glow. I don't feel like I've changed. But I even alluded to it a bit on Sunday. There's some people that you can look at and you can say, they definitely have spent time with the Lord. You can just see it on their face. There's a countenance that is there. There's something about someone who is so close to the Lord that they're just happy even when they shouldn't be. They're just that way. There's a difference on your face. Your countenance is changed. And that's the first place I want us to go to look at the Second Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because Paul actually alludes to what Moses' experience, that's okay. What his experience was, Paul alludes to it and gives us a little bit more insight. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll pick up in verse 7. And this is a typical Paul chapter. It's very deep, and you got to read it several times to truly understand what he's saying, but you'll get the idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, speaking of the Ten Commandments on tablets, if it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, the commandments, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. We'll come back to that later. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, listen, Corinthians, there was a glory that Moses had on his face, but it was passing away. It was going away because the law, though it was glorious, could not do the final work. But the Spirit who remains forever on New Testament Christians allows our glory to continue forever. And that's what he's saying here, that from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, we are able to grow. Our glory continues to grow. Our countenance continues to change as God continues to change us. Where does the change start? Where does the change take place? In our hearts. In our hearts. See, you can't fake it. You can't fake the countenance. You can't pretend that everything's okay when inside everything's a mess for you. It has to be in the heart. The soul that's at rest is the soul that's at peace. Is the soul that's at peace. And you can just let your countenance change. And that's what Paul's talking about here. That veil is removed. The veil uncovers our hearts and reveals the truth of what God is. When the Spirit fell at Pentecost on the 120 disciples in the upper room, it's in Acts chapter 2, a flame, it says, burned above each one of their heads. Okay, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were speaking in tongues, and there was like a flame on each one. And this is what happens. If you were in that room, if you were one of the 120 people who the Holy Spirit came upon you, you would look around at 119 other people on fire. You wouldn't see your own. You wouldn't see the flame on top of your head. It's the same thing for us, guys. In this room, I don't know how many people are here, but there's no doubt each and every one of us can look around and go, they're on fire for the Lord. They love God. They're on fire for Jesus. But why am I not? Why am I struggling? Why am I not being used like so-and-so? We have that. Why? We know ourselves, don't we? We know our hearts. But we look at you and we can see God working in your life. And the Spirit, if you let the Spirit work in your heart and through your life, you too will make an impact. You too will have make a difference. There has to be physical evidence of your relationship with God. And I really believe the longer we walk with the Lord, the easier it is for us to see how your relationship is with God. As I watch your life, as I see you walk in, I can see they're in a good mood, they're in a good place, they're in a bad mood, they're in a bad place, something going on. Why? Our countenances change. And I'm telling you, when we don't spend time with God and we don't read his word and we allow the world to just weigh down on us, guess what happens? Frown, frown, sad, not happy. Things aren't going my way. We cannot be those Christians that are only happy when things are going our way. Cannot. God is always good, my friends. God is always at work in your life. And I am just blessed to hear people telling me that when they're going through a trial, they're praising God through it. Because that's what we need to do. God, you're going to work. We have to have that faith. There has to be the physical evidence. And it is our tendency to think everyone else has the fire of the Lord. Everyone else is doing good with God, but I'm the only sinner in the room. I mean, do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you're the only one that doesn't deserve the grace of God, but man, God, pour out your spirit, but I know you can't on me because I made a mistake today. And I think that's a good thing sometimes, because it keeps us humble. We don't deserve the goodness of God, but we need to receive it. Actually, it's the goodness and the grace of God that does not allow us to see the change, that does not allow us to be prideful of what God's doing in our lives, but to be humble with it. And that actually leads us to our second point. Look at verse 31 as we go back to Exodus chapter 34. In verse 31, praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Verse 31, then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to Moses, to him. And Moses talked with them. So he's speaking to the rulers and the elders. Verse 32, afterward, after the leaders talked, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. Not only is there the physical evidence of my relationship, but there's also the practical influence of my relationship. The practical influence, you say? Here's the thing. When Moses first came down off the mountain, his face is like a light bulb. They're like, I'm not going near this guy. They're afraid to approach Moses. But after they realized why his face was glowing, after the elders come down and they have this conversation, then the children of Israel go, it's because of the glory of God that Moses, the time that Moses was spending with the Lord, the reason his face is glowing, and the reason his face is glowing is because God has been speaking to him, and he's been telling him the commandments. Moses calls them together and says, listen, I need to communicate to you the commandments of God. And that's my conviction, that because Moses' face shone with the glory of God, the presence of God, that they were more willing to receive the message from God. Do you hear me? They saw his physical evidence of his relationship with God, spending time with the Lord, and now they were willing to receive the word of God. If you are not walking the line yourself, it's hard for you to speak in someone else's life. You see what I'm saying? So there was a practical influence that Moses was able to have on the people going, listen, I'm not making these things up. You can see the presence that I've been, that the glory that I'm holding is the presence of God. So these are God's words. And it's the same thing for you and me. Because of our time spent with the Lord, because of our time learning about God and growing in the Lord, we're going to be able to minister to people more effectively. Because they see it's affected us. It's changed us. Because Moses had the physical evidence, he was able to be a practical influence upon the people. Moses was a man of integrity and humility. And it was a good thing that his face was glowing. For he held the law, the word of God, the commandments of God. And when you try to share truth with someone, but you don't have that joy of the Lord in your own heart, people aren't going to receive it. You can't convince someone of a product that you're not convinced of. You can't convince someone that the Lord's going to be good in their life if you don't believe the Lord's good in your life. You can't share with someone that this is how God did it in my life if you're not really believing that God did it. So we have to have that conviction. We have to know what is that God is working in our lives in order to share it with others. You know how people are. Not always ready to receive a commandment or receive instructions from God. Not always willing to just hear that. We tend to be a rebellious people, don't we? Well, I don't know if I believe what you're telling me. You gotta know that there's a conviction in someone's heart. See, when Moses came down from the mountain, he talked with the children of Israel face to face, communicating to them the word of God. What could they say, really? I mean, they were seeing this face glowing. They were seeing evidence of his relationship with God. And therefore, their hearts were ready to receive it. And it's no different for us. You know, Mom and Dad, if you're here today and you're trying to teach your children Scripture, if you're trying to do devotions with them, if you're trying to lead them in Christ and lead them in the Lord, but there is kind of this frown on your face that looks like it's not really doing anything for you, they're not going to want to do it either. It's no different. You know? If you're a husband here today and you want to minister to your wife, but you don't have that joy of the Lord on you, if you don't have that countenance on your face that, man, I love God and I want God to work in your life, it's not going to be received. It's not going to be received. Listen, if we're Christians and we want to win the lost, we better have something that they want. We know we have something that they need, but we need to convince them that it's something that they want and because it's affected us. I mean, Jesus, and I believe I've shared this over the last few weeks, but Jesus said this, "Let your light so shine that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven," right? Let our light shine, which means let people see that it's a joy to be a Christian. Are you happy to be a Christian? Do people know that you're happy to be a Christian? Smiling every now and again would be good. Smiling a lot. Let people know you're happy. I'm kind of weird. When I come up to somebody and I say, "How are you doing today?" and they're like, "I'm okay." That's not good enough for me. Well, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm okay. You should be great. You're a Christian. Life should be good. You're a Christian. Well, this is going on in life. So what? You're a Christian. You should be able to say, "I am doing amazing." I've done that, right? You can, people say, someone asks, "How are you doing, Pastor Ron?" I'm amazing. Why? Because I have the Spirit in me. Because I have God in me. I'm amazing because of what He's done in my life, not because of what I've done. And that means I'm just in a good place with the Lord. And that's letting your light shine so that others will glorify God. Yeah. Because Moses glowed, it made his message more palatable. He made his message more receivable. And that's what we need to love people with the gospel. You know, we don't have to beat up people with the gospel. They're lost. Feel bad for them, but they have an opportunity to receive. But it's got to be something that you're excited about. And you know the reason Moses glowed was because he was in the presence of the Lord. He was simply reflecting God. It was nothing that out of Moses. It was nothing that Moses possessed. It was strictly the glory of God reflecting off of his face. It's the same for us, guys. Reflecting God's goodness doesn't mean you're great, doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you're reflecting Christ. You be that mirror that points, so people look at you, they see Christ. Spending time in the presence of the Lord will influence you in a real and personal way. And if you haven't spent time with Him, it will show. It will be revealed. We'll see that in your hearts. But here's the problem. Moses' glow began to fade. It began to falter. It began to fail. It wasn't until he came back into the presence of God that the glow, or the presence of God, the glory of God would continue to be upon him. And that brings us to our last and final point. Look at verse 33. "And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him." Here we go. Number one, the physical evidence of my relationship, the practical influence of my relationship, and finally, their perpetual dependence on my relationship with God. The perpetual dependence. We are so dependent. You should be so dependent upon God equipping you to get through every single day. There's Moses, he put the veil over his face so the people wouldn't see the glory that was fading. But when he went back into the presence of the Lord, the veil came up so that the glory could be reestablished in his heart. He was working on his relationship with God, and we must continually, consistently spend time in the presence of God. It sounds easy, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh, why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? That's a very good question. Because we're dirty, rotten sinners, I guess. Because I would imagine almost everybody in here realizes that when I spend time with God, I'm thoroughly equipped for my day. I'm thoroughly equipped for whatever comes. And when I don't spend time with God, man, I have a hard time. You know, and maybe, you know, maybe you're strong on Monday and then Tuesday's okay, but by Wednesday you're like, oh, I'm gonna hurt somebody. Why? You haven't been spending time with God. And you haven't been in the presence of the Lord, staying, working on that relationship so that when you see somebody that bothers you, you can go, praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus just saved your life. Now you know what movies I watch. Moses knew he had to come back into the presence of the Lord. He knew that that one-time deal was not enough. How many Christians do we know that we think one-time deal is enough? You know, I'll show up to church every now and again. I'll get that recharge. I'll hang around Christians. I'll pray when I need something. No. Man, we have a really easy time eating three meals or more a day, don't we? Nobody has to remind us. Nobody has to, hey, have you eaten? No, it hasn't been a few days since I've eaten. No, we just happened to, that's a pretty good habit, isn't it? Why is it when it comes to God? Man, I haven't prayed in a few days. And I haven't read my devotion in a while. Man, where is my Bible? And I'm talking about other people, not you, because you guys do this. Because you know that you need this, right? That's how we are. We do well for a while, then we grow a little weary. Then our glow begins to turn into a low glimmer, and we learn we start to get a little dull, we start getting a little edgy. You know, when I see someone get a little edgy, I know that they have not spent time with God. Someone who I know knows the Lord, and I know they're a strong proponent for God, and they're one of those soldiers for the Lord, I can tell when they've put their shield down and when they put their sword down because they've been too busy. Every little thing just agitates them. Get back into the presence of God. See, sometimes we forget. Instead of seeking a renewal from the Lord, we seek it from others. And here's the danger. Oh, we can get it from each other pretty much. But the glory comes from God, right? The glory is only come from Him. We can help, we can assist, and we can coast for a little while. But what happens is we start to depend on others instead of the Lord. And with that, let's say goodbye to Exodus. Let's go now to Luke chapter 8, because there's a story here that I want you to look at, and that you've probably heard it. It's only a couple of verses, actually, but it's an important truth in these verses. It's Luke 8, kind of towards the end, verses 43 and 44. A couple of the Gospels speak about this brief encounter with this old woman with Christ. Verse 43, it says, "Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood, spent all her money trying to get fixed, on physicians and could not be healed by any." Mark's gospel says, actually, after 12 years of trying to get help, she actually got worse. She didn't just stay the same. She actually got worse trying to get help. Verse 44, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, speaking Christ, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. How long did it take? How much time of prayer? How much time of study? Immediately. When your Bible says immediately, it means immediately. That's what that word means. Instantly. 12 years. Some of us are probably in here going, amen. I've got a problem and I've been dealing with it for 12 years. Hopefully it's not your 12-year-old kid. But there's no doubt there's people in this room that have been dealing with something for a long period of time. Forget what I just said. Dealing with something for a long time. And you're like, what's going on? I've tried this. I've gone there. I've gone to prayer meetings. I've gone to anointing meetings. I've even done prayer, you know, night of worships. Nothing's happening. Nothing's working. What happened? For this woman, she spent everything she had. She actually got worse, but she was depending upon the world. But the amazing thing is, she had enough faith to go, there's someone who's walking on the planet now in her day, that all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment, and I'll be healed. She had that kind of faith to go to God. In the Old Testament, see if I get this right. In the Old Testament, strings that hung on the garments on the hems of the garments would be tied in certain knots, indicating different things like lineage or family or vocation or their heritage, their background. And touching the hem of Jesus' garment, this woman was submitting to his authority, okay, to his authority. She knew that all she had to do was touch. She didn't have to bother him. She didn't ask him. All I needed to do is touch it. That was basically her submitting up under the authority of Christ, saying, all I need to touch it, I believe I'll be healed. And immediately she was. She tried all these other things. But it was only when she submitted to the authority of Christ that she was healed. And for some of us here tonight, my friends, you've been dealing with something for a long time. You've been going on with just trying to figure out what do I got to do, Lord? What foot do I have to stand on, and what prayer do I have to pray for this to change? Guys, all it is submitting up under his authority. All it is is bringing yourself into the submission and the authority up under Jesus Christ and saying, God, I believe you can. Let me just touch the hem of your garment. Let me just submit myself to your authority. So I don't know where you've gone. I don't know what things you've tried. But tonight you have an opportunity for it to stop. Whatever it is. Whether it's been 12 days, 12 years, 12 months, whatever it is you've been dealing with, submit it to the authority of Christ. Let your heart be such that you can say to God, here it is my issue, here is my problem, I believe you can change it. And I believe in that time, in that moment, you'll be able to begin to see God unfold the answer. Because you've tried everything else. Nothing else works. Only through the authority of Christ. You can be set free right now, saying, Lord, you are in a position of... That doesn't change. Christ is in a position of authority. Seated at the right hand of God, that's a position of authority. Seated means he's finished his work. So he is in authority now. You need to just submit under his authority. Submit to you. I submit to you, Lord, and I touch the hem of your garment in authority. What'll happen? Just like Moses. You'll have a glow on your face because you're submitting up under the authority of Christ. You're saying, God, I want what you want. And now I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to seek you for this issue. And maybe you have prayed. Maybe you have spent time in prayer. Maybe you've had other people pray for you. But tonight you've come to the realization that all I need to do, I'm going to work on that, all I need to do is spend time in the presence of God. And this is what's going to happen. God's going to heal you, or he's going to change you to deal with what you're dealing with. He's going to change you. There's going to be a physical manifestation. There's going to be a change in you that you're going to be able to deal with whatever it is. We know the Apostle Paul had that thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it is, but he pleaded with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I think Apostle Paul probably prayed some pretty good prayers to God. They were pretty effective. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient. And when God tells you his grace is sufficient and you've submitted to his authority, guess what? His grace is going to be sufficient for you and you're going to be able to deal with what you're going through. That, my friends, is a real relationship. That is working on that relationship and depending upon God. Physical evidence. I want to see you change. God wants to see you change. Practical influence, impacting other people's lives because God's impacting yours. It's just natural. It just comes natural. You don't have to witness to people. When God's doing things in your life and when you're being changed and when you're being molded and shaped, you're gonna change other people's lives. You're going to make an impact in someone else's life. You're going to be influential in others' lives. But make sure you get back into the presence of God. We go out. We minister. We go into the world. We get beat up. But we have to come back to God and get recharged. That's what we must do. So let's do that, shall we? Let's pray.